So this is the third part of a section that we've been on, which is called Attack and Defend. Remember, we had a look at the fact that we are in spiritual warfare. Now, how many of you have previously heard the definition of spiritual warfare before? Spiritual warfare is 99% in your mind and 1% out in the supernatural spirit realm. Are there demons? Yes. Are they chasing after you? Yes. Can they get you? Not if you're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. So if you're a true believer and you're covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, demons should not make you afraid. Demons are real. They are not more powerful than the blood of Jesus Christ. So if you've received Jesus and you believe that his blood was shed for you once and for all time, Satan and his demons are a defeated foe. We are doing the victory lap. But sometimes it feels like Satan is all over us. How many of you have said, I'm being attacked? Oh, I must be being attacked. Well, Satan has this incredible super domino rally effect. And he wants you to get you thinking that he's more powerful and he's attacking you, because then you're going to buckle and you're going to fold like Adam and Eve folded. When you start believing that his attack is greater than the blood of Jesus Christ, you're in trouble. The situation that Satan has caused, the super domino rally effect from what he did in Eden, is now knocking on your door because of how you're thinking. So the first thing we've got to understand about spiritual warfare, about things like deliverance, the things about demons, is we've got to be pretty assured of who we are before we step into an arena that we know nothing about. Because the darkest recesses of your mind are probably way more scary than Satan's attacks. Because when Satan attacks, we can cry Jesus. But when our mind starts attacking, and we put ourselves down, we find ourselves depressed, oppressed, anxious, worried, stressful, questioning. And we get to a place where we're actually attacking ourselves, and Satan has got nothing to do with it. And instead of taking captive your thoughts, you blame it on the devil. Because it's a great cop-out. Instead of moving stuff around that quadrant and going, hang on, how do I think differently about that? Who can I talk to about that? What scriptures can I get application, inspiration, revelation from? How can I grow? Where can I see? How do I get better from that? How do I, Holy Spirit, show me. I don't want to do that again. I don't want to speak like that again. I don't want to act like that again. And then, Holy Spirit, I don't want to get angry. I don't want to carry offense. I don't want to carry it. But what we could do, oh, Satan's just attacking me. I'm so useless. Well, Satan hasn't just attacked you. Satan's defeated you, and you're covered by the blood, so you cannot be defeated. And Satan is the one to be defeated by your faith in what Jesus has done in you, not what you have to do for yourself. I want to ask you, I really believe that spiritual warfare has been overplayed, overrated, and overlooked. There's Christians today that overlook it. Nah, Satan, blood of the Lamb, covered, I'm nah. But Satan is still real, and the effects of Satan are still real. Remember, Satan is not defeated in the fallen world. Satan is defeated in the redeemed world. So when you act fallen, Satan has power. When you lean on your redemption, Satan has no power. We can quickly become unbalanced whenever we take a teaching, a philosophy, or a biblical text out of context. I want to just understand this word balanced. All Satan wants to do is get you unbalanced. And so even doctrine can get us unbalanced and divisive. I mean, if you think about it, from the very beginning of church history, even the gospel showed how God's kingdom was divided. The scribes and the Pharisees, and they were unbalanced and creating laws that they didn't need to create and putting dots and tittles on God's law that they wanted to create. They were out of balance. They were out of whack. And Satan is just loving this concept that the moment he gets you unbalanced, he's going to create division and confusion. Do you want to know what his primary attack strategy is in spiritual warfare? Confusion and division. You want to know how he undermines your marriage? Confusion, division. You want to know how he undermines a Christian church? Confusion, division. You want to know how he undermines your finances? Confusion, division. But he doesn't have the power to govern your response to balance or imbalance. Only you do. He doesn't have the power to decide whether or not you're going to walk in balance or not. He's going to throw division and confusion at you, hoping it's going to knock you from your tightrope walk of life and cause you to freak out. How many of you know that if you're freaking out, you can't walk the tightrope? And he knows that if you're going to be balanced, you're going to make it across to the other side. All he needs to do is throw a broken washing machine, a packed up fridge fan, and a motor vehicle accidents at you in the same week, and you're freaking out. The human psyche is so paper thin that he can cause inbanba, and then all of a sudden you're under attack. No one loves you. You know what? My meat was melting. No one even phoned. My church pastor doesn't love me, doesn't care. And all of a sudden your confusion has become disunity, and disunity has become confusion, and you're unbalanced. And Satan's got you. But you see, there's two scriptures that I've just showed you the example on, but the structure of this is actually formed for us in the book of Job. I want you to read the book of Job with the lens. Look at how Satan caused division and confusion in Job's life. And the whole book is set up to demonstrate spiritual warfare. Satan attacked Job. Job had to have some friends to work some stuff out through the Jahari's window until he finally got it to the quadrant of peace. And he finally fitted everything together and said, okay, I got this. But fundamentally, the attack was on Job's physicality and his flesh. And that threw him into confusion and disunity with the Father. Have a look at how it looked in the book of John. In the book of John, at the time, John the Baptist was baptizing at Anon near Salem because there was plenty of water there. And people kept coming to him for baptisms. This was before John was thrown into prison. A debate broke out between John's disciples and certain Jews over ceremonial cleansing. So John's disciples came to him and said, Rabbi, the man you met on the other side of the Jordan River, the one you identified as the Messiah, is also baptizing people. Did you see how the confusion became division? The disciples didn't go to John and say, hey, John, these Jews are talking about ceremonial cleansing. No, they took the gossip and the rumor from the Jews about ceremonial cleansing and turned it against Jesus. Their argument had nothing to do with the Jews and ceremonial cleansing. They just got this confusion and this disunity, and so they freaked out about their core doctrine. Spiritual attack will always get you freaking out about your core doctrine. In the book of Genesis, it outlines a very simple thing that where Satan started that kind of stuff. Have a look. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, did God really say to you, you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees of the garden? Questioning. Confusion. Did he really say that? And that's because the human psyche has been worn down by so much confusion and so much disunity and so much doubt and so much unbelief and so much backstabbing and so much broken promises and so much lie that we don't even know what we know anymore. And that's what Satan did in the beginning. He just questioned their core theology. And then, of course, we may eat from every tree in the garden. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said you must not eat it or even touch it. Let's just add a little bit of scripture here. Let's just add a little bit to the story. God never said you're not allowed to touch it. Ceremonial cleaning becomes Jesus' argument. God says becomes what we say God says. And we start forming scriptures around our own feelings and then holding people accountable to scriptures that don't exist. I'm sure there's a scripture in the Bible somewhere that says, and there's not. You just wanted to say that because that'll make you comfortable and make your point. Or even better, when you see someone behaving in the wrong way, you take out a scripture and you whip them with it. And God's going, that's going to cause confusion because he wrote the book of love and we're using it to beat up. What's that going to cause? It's going to cause confusion. People thinking about going to church, do you really think they're looking at the church and go, man, that place is switched on, knows where it's going, understands its Bible, clearly knows how to adjudicate people's situations, knows how to love in grace and mercy. These guys have got it together. Do you think the world's saying that about the church? Or are they speaking about a place that's hypocritical, confused, broken down, disunited? You see, there's a doctrinal war going on that Satan the devil is trying to use to attack the church. And Satan the devil wants us to take things out of context and become unbalanced around spiritual matters, because that creates his ultimate desire in the church. Confusion. Well, I can't go to a Baptist church because they don't believe dot, dot, dot. Do they believe in Jesus? Yes. Well, then you can go there. Oh, but I don't like it. You know, they play in the key of C and not the key of G. You're making up your own scriptures and you're causing confusion and disunity where there doesn't need to be confusion and disunity. Do they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ being the only way to the Father? Not, oh, ceremony and uncleanness. They said he couldn't touch the fruit. Not all the secondary doctrine, the core doctrine. And Satan has completely vanquished the church by causing us to be in absolute confusion. Here's how. Romans chapter 16, verse 7. This is what Paul says. And now I make one more appeal, my dear brothers and sisters. Watch out for people who cause divisions and upset people's faith. Have your complaints about a certain church upset other people's faith recently? Your complainings and your whinings about what's gone on in the church world perhaps caused confusion and division. It's not our place to do that. It's our place to stand firm against the machinations of the devil, which is confusion and division, and fight back with truth, love, mercy, and forgiveness. Period. I want to tell you that Satan wants to get you to stand still in your walk with God. And he does that by creating confusion and division because he knows you're going to stop a while and talk about it. Think about how much energy and space in your mind that you could have been applying to growing in God's word that you apply to the confusion and division that Satan causes. How am I feeling today? I don't get to define that. What? You don't get to define that. You only get to feel the promises of God. You don't get to define how you feel. But that's my right. No, it's not. We've become so confused about what's our rights and what's in our authority that we've lost track of what God's authority has over us. And because of that, we're in confusion. Quit your confusion and go back to the person who made you and get it figured out. Oh, but I don't know if I love a woman or I love a man. Well, get with God who made man and made woman and figure it out quickly. Because otherwise your confusion is going to cause you to be hurt. Because we become disunited with God's principles. We've made our own, so we're walking in our own authority. And Satan's going, this war is easier than I thought it would be. I want to give you some examples of some doctrine that Satan's got twisted in our churches today to cause division. Sin. We've got this group of people over here who say, once saved, always saved. You've got this group of people over here who say you've got to earn your salvation and you can lose your salvation. You've got heaven and hell. Confusion results in judgmentalism on the one side. You're going to hell if you do that. Or universalism, where there is no heaven, there is no hell. Kumbaya, my Lord. What about the prosperity gospel? How skew and crazy was that? Confusion in the prosperity gospel results in name it and claim it on the one side. And then we get theologians or gold peddlers on the other. What about grace? Earned eternity? Or we can get away with murder. I can either have to earn my eternity, I have to earn my grace. Or you know what? I could just do whatever I wanted there. I can smoke weed and just sit by the right side of the road and God accepts me and I can have three wives. Like whatever. Because grace abounds, right? What about the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit, I don't need the Holy Spirit. And the only reason Christians today say the Holy Spirit was only for the apostles is because they don't want the Holy Spirit pricking them. So they just deny the Holy Spirit, so there is no conscience. Or we go the other extreme. We've got to shake and shudder over the, oh, did you feel that? Now, I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit doesn't work like that, and that when you operate in clarity around that, that can't happen. But you've got whole people who've developed spiritual Tourette's because it brings attention to them. And they shake and shudder over the floor and nothing's happening to them. And next week they shake and shudder all over the floor again. And next week they come tears, wailing and travailing about the same thing again. And let me tell you something, if the Holy Spirit takes you off your feet, he's going to change you. And we've got other people that operate in the prophetic, but they say the same thing over and over again, every single time they have a prophetic word. Pastors, you know what I'm talking about. Sister so-and-so, she comes up, asks for the microphone at exactly the same time, every single service, and says almost exactly the same thing every single time you give her the microphone. But she's got a fresh word. And we've over-glorified this confusion. And we've actually detached ourselves from the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the truth about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we've opened ourselves wide open for spiritual attack. What's the spiritual attack? Confusion and division. What about sovereignty of God? Sovereignty of God, we're either pawns on a chessboard or we have free will. And never the two shall mix. And there's so much division and confusion. All of this is just an attack on the actual spirituality of God and not your circumstance. You are feeling attacked because you're walking in division and confusion, not because Satan is attacking you. Satan is attacking the sovereignty, he's attacking the authority, he's attacking the name of Jesus by causing its church to run around like chickens without a head. The book of Job defines how Satan attacked the righteous. He attacks the physical to question Job's spiritual relationship with God. But the one space that Satan does not have control of is our minds or our souls. Matthew chapter 10, 28, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Satan has come to rob, steal, and destroy. But he cannot touch your soul. He cannot touch your thoughts. Oh, Satan just gave me a thought. No, he didn't. That's your own piece of stupid. Oh, but I just feel so dark. Well, then quit watching all of those crazy late night dark movies and you might not feel so dark. Leanne and I counseled a woman once. She said, I think my house is full of demons. I see images when I dream. And we counseled and we prayed. I think I went through more bottles of oil in my life and anointed everything there was to anoint. And we got super spiritual, unbalanced about oil. I tell you this much, if that woman ever walked next to an open flame, she'd probably go up. And then one day we're sitting talking and she says to us, man, I just love watching like occult movies before I go to bed. Wait, what? That's not Satan attacking you. Your house isn't full of demons. You got an imagination that's being fueled by what you watch. Oh, it's spiritual warfare. Why? Because you don't want to change what you watch. That's going to take up way too much effort. So we just blame Satan and carry on watching movies about the occult. You see, the ultimate goal of a spiritual attack is to weaken or confuse your ability to relate to God. Satan doesn't want you to have a life with God. He rather wants you to have a life of confusion. And so when you have a look at this, you might be saying, well, if he's attacking the church by its doctrine, why do I feel attacked? That's because you are the church. He's questioning your doctrine. He's not questioning the lowercase c doctrine. He's questioning what you believe. What's your doctrine? If you don't know what your church, you, believes, because if you're the church, you better have a statement of faith. Otherwise, you are sheep that are skinned and tossed about like sheep without a shepherd. You see, your statement of faith is who you have faith in and how you're going to walk that out. Church, I'm looking at you. What does your giving look like? What does your statement of faith look like? What does your missions outreach look like? You see, we've got confused between what Satan's actually attacking. He doesn't attack the lowercase c church to crumble it. He attacks the uppercase c church, you and me, and in that way crumbles the lower C church. So it's not doctrine about what the church believes, it's doctrine about what you believe. What do you believe about grace? What do you believe about prosperity? Have you studied that in the Bible and said, these are the scriptures I stand on in my faith walk? If anybody knows me longer than 5 minutes, you'll know. If you want to know my statement of faith, just read Romans chapter 12 and you'll have me in a nutshell. But Satan attacks us individually to get to the church. He can only attack us through depression, identity, self-worth, when we allow what we see, taste, hear, or smell to define us. Satan has no authority over you unless you give it to him. And you give it to him by how you feel. Oh, I just feel so lonely today. Oh, what do you think Satan's going to do? He's going to knock your marriage out the park. He's going to threaten your children's relationship with you. He's going to get your friends to deny coming over for dinner. Why? Because you've spoken out how you feel. But what do you think he can do to you when you wake up in the morning and say, man, I feel like I'm chosen by God today? There's no confusion in that. Oh, I'm so tired. Satan knows what he's going to do. Your car's going to break down. You're going to have to walk to work. Three people are going to be off sick and you're going to have to do the work of seven people. And you're going to come home and your wife is going to sit down and say, "You, dude, you need to cook dinner tonight." What do you mean I need to go? I'm so tired. Why? Because you told Satan how you feel. So watch what you say. Are you talking a language he can understand, or are you talking the words of the Holy Spirit that he has no control over? He understands depressed. He understands tired. He understands confused. He understands this disunity. He understands that language. Don't speak it. Now, I'm not saying you can't say, I'm tired. Oh, Satan's got me. Oh, my word. But when that's what you truly believe who you are, it becomes a problem. It becomes your governance. And so there are three weapons that we need to understand in our spiritual warfare understanding. Before we get into casting out demons and deliverance, and we're going to get into deliverance tonight. But number one is peace of mind. Peace of mind. Peace in my mind involves your entire soul, which Satan cannot attack. So if you have peace in your soul, he can't rob you of it. So if you feel like you have no peace, check your source. But understand he's probably tapping your peace through circumstance, not through faith. Satan cannot decide for you if you're going to have faith in Jesus' peace or not. You do. So he's not going to attack your peace through your faith. He hasn't got authority over your faith, because your faith is a soul thing, and he has no authority in your soul, in your mind. But he will attack your circumstance to disrupt your mind, and then your mind gets disrupted, your mind gets confused, it becomes disunited from the peace that the Lord has put in it, and all of a sudden you're a wreck. The first is peace of mind. Here's some scriptures that you can use. Your soul needs to be at rest, 2 Corinthians 2:13, because you're trusting God, Isaiah 26:3, and presenting your concerns in every situation to God in prayer, Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7. True peace of mind comes from God rather than from anyone or anything in the world, John 14:27. If you do not have peace in your life, here's your first exercise of spiritual warfare. Go back and take your peace back. And we're going to get to why we speak like that in a few moments. So peace of mind. Are you fighting for your peace? Or are you letting gossip and rumor rob you of it? Thoughts of inadequacy take it away from you. Dashed dreams, broken promises. Satan is attacking your circumstances. He cannot attack your soul. Get your peace back in your soul. If there is no peace, there is disunity and confusion. You don't take a decision while you're at a low in your life. You either imagine what it was like to be on the high, or you get up on the high and then take a decision. When you're bankrupt in your this existing business, please don't do a business plan for your next one. When you're walking through and the divorce isn't finalized, please don't get engaged. We don't take major decisions from the valley. We get back our peace. And when we have our peace in place, confusion and division is far from us. Now we take a decision. Leanne and I are wrestling with this. We desperately feel God is calling us to something. But we're taking our time because we don't want to get desperate in this next decision. We want to make a decision out of peace. We are deliberately slowing things down. And what does that do? It makes our circumstances freak out. How am I going to pay the mortgage? But all Satan is trying to do is attack your soul through your circumstances. And it's only your faith that prevents those fiery bullets from getting in. Don't let them get in. What about wisdom, your second weapon in spiritual warfare? God gives us wisdom from above and the Holy Spirit who dwells within each Christian. Here's the deal. He puts peace on the inside of you, and then he gives peace from circumstances around you. When your circumstantial peace matches your soul peace, make a decision. Because while there's mayhem happening in your circumstances, I can tell you, flesh-based Christians, we're leaning towards our circumstances to make a decision. And we're not trying to calm the circumstances down so our circumstantial peace can meet our soul peace and we can take a peaceful decision. And it's only the Holy Spirit that can control and connect those two things. The Holy Spirit's in you and on you, and the two forces need to collide, not repel like a magnet. The Holy Spirit reveals divine wisdom to us in a variety of ways. It grants us wisdom through Scripture. Yeah, definitely. There's such wisdom in Scripture. But I haven't dusted my Bible off in 3 years. Well, if you want the peace of your circumstance to align to the peace of your soul, you better get the wisdom that's found in Scripture. The Spirit helps us to know Christ. Know Christ. Oh, I just love Christ. He knows me and I know Him. When last did you make a study of the Gospels? The red letters of Jesus, the words that Jesus spoke. When last have you just gone ahead and said, hang on, I'm going to study this scripture as if I was standing right there in front of Jesus. What would Jesus think about that? What would Jesus say about that? How would Jesus feel about that? To know Jesus is to know the Father. And if we're not going to get to know Jesus, we're never going to have the wisdom of the Father. Spirit gives us gifts of wisdom to guide us in the daily challenges of work and life. When you were facing a task recently, when did you just say, hang on, Holy Spirit, just tell me how to do this because I'm clueless. It's amazing what he'll tell you and how he'll help you do stuff when you just tell your circumstances to shut up and you listen to the Holy Spirit's promptings. We have access to wisdom from above because we have the Spirit from above within us. And all we have to do is ask for it. James 1 verse 5. Holy Spirit, I need wisdom right now. Are you making a decision about a relationship? Seek counsel from the Holy Spirit. Before you go to marital counseling, go to Holy Spirit counseling. Before you read a book from the world on how to bring up your kids, go to the Holy Spirit. They'll tell you. In conclusion, I want to just leave you as we get ready for next time to understand full deliverance. In the Christian church today, Deliverance has been about what we are delivered from. We cast a demon out. We cast a spirit out. We're delivered from the spirit of greed. We're delivered from... Deliverance in Scripture is not about what we're delivered from. Remember, what we're delivered from is defeated. Deliverance is when a deliverer brings something to be delivered to your home, a package from Amazon, the end destination where it's being delivered to is way more important to you than where it's being delivered from. You can imagine the package on your front doorstep. You can't imagine the package leaving the warehouse. Where it was delivered from is irrespective. Where it's being delivered to is the most important thing. Deliverance is not about what you're being delivered from. Deliverance is about what you're being delivered to. What are you being delivered to? Peace of mind, God-oriented wisdom, and divinely inspired identity. The three things. Because you see, God is unchanging. He's reliable. What he says about you is true. He's delivered you to the promises of God, not from the lies of Satan. The lies of Satan were taken care of at the cross. We've been in the state of limbo all this time. Now we have to have peace, wisdom, and identity in God to be able to understand what we've been delivered to. But we're so busy worrying about what Satan's doing that we forget about what the promises of God are that we're supposed to be yearning towards. Deliverance is about yearning for the things of God, not worrying about the things of Satan. Deliverance is about yearning for the things of God, not worrying about the things of Satan. If we can be, by our behavior, help somebody get over the spirit of greed, by helping them yearn for the things of God, what they delivered to will trump what they're delivered from. I want to pray an example prayer over my brother Troy here. And it's going to come out in Jesus' name. Did you feel that spirit? That spirit, I can't come near, I'm fighting. It feels like I'm being drawn into the spirit of greed. Come out in Jesus. And all I'm doing is I'm speaking up the spirit of greed. Troy, you have been called by God to have peace of mind, wisdom, to make the right choices, and have an identity as a child of God, someone that's set aside for eternity and a destiny. What I'm delivering him to is way more powerful than me jumping around. I even shout louder when I don't know what I'm shouting at. Can I tell you something? Demons aren't deaf, and neither is God. God doesn't have to speak out over and over and over again. He's given you peace of mind. He's given you wisdom, and he's given you the wonder of a God-oriented identity. When we deliver people to that, we'll see strongholds broken. Not when we get unbalanced about the demon in him, the spirit in him. And we need to understand that so we know what promises to speak over that. We know what to deliver him to. If we know what he's being delivered from, we know what to deliver him to. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. And you probably know this scripture well, but I want you to do an air study of it. We are delivered to peace and wisdom and a God-given identity. This is his opinion or decision. I want you to go back for a moment to the definition on the bottom of page 12. Deliverance is a noun. It's the act of delivering someone or something to something. The state of being delivered to something. When the person is floundering in the waves and we get them back on board, do you think they're thankful for the ship or thankful for the waves? They're busy drowning in the waves. Do you think they're going to say, I'm so thankful for that storm. I'm so thankful that I was almost drowning and I got so wet and I couldn't breathe. Or when you get them on board the ship, do you think that they understand the thankfulness of dry land, the thankfulness of a meal, the thankfulness of not drowning and dying? They're grateful for the ship. But we stand there after rescuing them going, look at those waves in you that you were in. Look at how ghastly that storm was. Come out of that storm, fool. But we forget what we're supposed to be doing is delivering them to peace, to wisdom, and to the identity of God. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor. Why? So you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Satan doesn't create your time of evil. You give him an opening by living, thinking about the evil, and giving time to evil. He can now attack you. Then after the battle, you'll be standing firm. That's not a question. That's not a maybe. Christians receive it as a promise. After the battle, you'll be standing firm. There isn't a battle that's going to vanquish you. There isn't a battle that's going to defeat you. There isn't a battle that's going to undermine you. There isn't a battle that's going to conquer you. It's very simple. After the battle, whatever the battle is, you will be standing firm. This is not going to crush you, because we call to the promises of Jesus Christ, not to the battle of Satan the devil. I will not bend the knee to gossip. I will not bend the knee to slander. I will not bend the knee, because if I bend the knee to the things of Satan, then I will have a bended knee at the end times of the battle. And this scripture says I'll be standing. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Why? Because faith is a soul-based thing, and soul-based things protect the soul from the attack of the flesh. That's your spiritual warfare. You don't let Satan get in your head. It's as simple as that. Put on the salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Why? Because Satan does not understand spiritual language. He does not understand promise. He does not understand life. He does not understand life when there should be death. He does not understand light when there should be dark. He does not understand you aligning your life to the promises. He only understands you aligning your life to defeat. So don't talk about defeat. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Amen.